overnight air raid on a Lebanese medical center. Thousands of Jordanians protest against Israel, demanding the closure of the regime's embassy in Amman in solidarity with Gaza and the Hamas resistance movement. Hello and welcome, everybody. Nearly 6 months into the Israeli genocide in Gaza, the regime continues with its bombing and shelling campaign, causing more deaths and destruction across the besieged territory. Over the past couple of hours, Israeli warplanes have targeted three residential buildings in the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza. Regime forces also set Palestinian homes on fire in the area, according to the Israeli military. Its forces continue to lay siege to the hospital, where over two dozen paramedics are still inside in the catastrophic condition in Al-Shaja'iya, one of the largest neighborhoods in Gaza. The regime's troopers killed eight civilians. Meanwhile, the death toll from overnight strikes on Rafah climbed to 11 elsewhere. Two people were killed in the Israeli shelling of an area near the Buraij refugee camp in central Gaza. The overall death toll from the Israeli onslaught since early October is nearly 32,500, mostly women and children. Our correspondent Moti Abu Mosaba joined us earlier from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala to update us on the situation there.
Let's begin from Rafah city, as the Israeli occupation forces intensify their attacks against the residential buildings and the areas, particularly those adjacent to the Egyptian border. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, the current Israeli aggression against the western part of the city, particularly the vicinity and the surrounding areas of the Nasser medical complex, has still continued so far, with more airstrikes and more artillery shelling that reaches that area. And we are talking about also continuous attacks that are still hitting the residential buildings and the residential areas there, knowing that the vast majority of those buildings were completely destroyed and devastated by the chronic Israeli airstrikes that reached and targeted that area when the Israeli occupation forces carried out their first ground offensive against that area, inflicting more damage and destruction. According to multiple eyewitnesses, that the Israeli occupation forces opened the gunfire directly towards the Palestinian civilians. After releasing them, they were kidnapped from the Nasser medical complex, and after that they were shot dead by the Israeli occupation forces in a continuation of the continuous Israeli crimes and massacres. Over the last night, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against the northern part of Nusayrat refugee camp.
Israeli raids on the occupied West Bank have become almost daily occurrences. Over the past several months, the regime troops have carried out new raids, including a drone strike on the city of Jenin and its refugee camp, killing several more Palestinians. We were earlier joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Candil, who gave us more details on that.
A 19-year-old Palestinian was shot and killed by the Israeli forces during a military raid to Jenin city. Now we are speaking about two more Palestinians had been killed, but this time they were killed by an Israeli drone strike. Israeli military carried out a drone strike at an area in the neighborhood of Ad-Damaj in the refugee camp of Jenin, killing two more Palestinians and wounding at least nine others. Those two Palestinians who had been killed, one of them is from the city of Nablus and the second is from Jenin refugee camp, and they were killed in this drone strike. This brings the number of the Palestinians who were killed by the Israeli forces in Jenin since the early hours of Wednesday to three. We have to mention that the Israeli forces had also stormed the town of Qabati in Jenin. Exchange of fire had been carried out between Palestinian members of the resistance groups and the Israeli forces. The Israeli troops, as usual, used their guns to shoot the Palestinians. At least five Palestinians had been wounded, according to paramedics. This means that the number of Palestinians who had been killed since the 7th of October is today over 450, maybe specifically 453 Palestinians, in addition to the fact that thousands had been wounded by the Israeli forces. Over 7,800 Palestinians had been arrested across the occupied West Bank since the 7th of October.
In a fresh retaliatory attack, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has fired a salvo of missiles at the Israeli city of Kiryat Shemona in the occupied territories. A home was damaged and two settlers were wounded in the strikes. A plume of black smoke was seen rising over the targeted site. The attack followed an Israeli air raid on a medical facility in southern Lebanon. Israeli warplanes targeted the emergency and Islamic Relief Center in the town of Hebariya, killing several paramedics. Hezbollah had condemned the act of aggression and vowed to avenge the attack. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza in early October. Both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified its attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Our correspondent Mariam Saleh says the Israeli regime plans to evacuate settlers from the city of Kiryat Shemona, which has been the latest target of the Lebanese Hezbollah resistance movement in its retaliatory attacks.
We know from Israeli media that the rockets hit their target. We're talking about some 30 Katyusha rockets that landed in what the Israelis call the city of Kiryat Shemona, which is a very large area. Big portions of it has already been evacuated by the Israeli authorities. Now we know that the rest will also be evacuated, seemingly after this targeting. The Israelis said that there is at least one factory that was in flames. There was one settler that was killed so far. Others that were severely wounded, even those firefighters and the paramedics trying to get still people from that factory that were stranded inside, they were also wounded as a result of trying to extinguish the fires and remove the settlers inside the factory. We know that there are still rescue efforts as we speak in the city of Kiryat Shemona right now, in addition to the fact that Hezbollah also said they targeted the barracks, which is the command center for the 769th Division, which is also very significant. Now, you notice that the Israeli media is completely blocked out from any sort of casualties when it comes to the military.
Well, in our news review program today, we discuss growing anger in Jordan, with people there demanding authorities cut all kind of relations with the Israeli regime over the Gaza genocide. Let's take a listen to what our guests had to say about it. On this segment of the program, thousands of Jordanians have once again filled the streets of the capital Amman to vent their anger at the U.S.-Israeli genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Since the beginning of the war and aggression against Gaza, we have been here in the courtyards of Al-Kaluti Mosque in order to send a message to the Palestinian resistance that we are with you and all the Jordanian people are with you. And from here, I appeal to the Jordanian people who are sitting at home for everyone to go out to the streets. What are you waiting for? We must make our voice heard.
There is no need for all this attack by security forces. We have one enemy. Here, there is land for the occupier, the Israeli embassy, and we are here to demonstrate against this land.
This was the second night of violent protests in Amman, with people demanding the government sever all kinds of ties with the Israeli regime and stop the country being a transit for goods into Israeli-occupied territories. They were chanting slogans in support of the Palestinian resistance movement and its military wing, Al-Qassam Brigades. Security forces used batons and tear gas to disperse the angry demonstrators who tried to reach the Israeli embassy on Tuesday evening and during the early hours of Wednesday. Security forces also arrested a number of demonstrators, including at least one female Jordan, which hosts 2.4 million Palestinian refugees, has witnessed several rallies in solidarity with Gazans since Israel launched its war on the besieged strip. The country has also been actively involved in airdropping humanitarian aid into Gaza. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have Palestinian scientist and author Mazen Ghomsia, who's joining us from Bethlehem, also co-founder of the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Mr. McNapier is joining us from Edinburgh. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Ramsia and Bethlehem. I want to get your perspective on these massive and serious demonstrations that are taking place in Jordan. The demonstrators and protesters who are participating in these rallies, which have been ongoing since the Israelis started this genocidal war against the Palestinians, has been persistent, not just in Jordan, but in many other Arab governments as well. Please break that down for us and the impact that that has had globally, and also given the support that the Jordanians are showing for the Palestinian cause and the anger that they're showing against the Israelis, why are we not seeing any action from the Jordanian government?
Well, to start with, I can say, you know, salute to the Jordanians, Palestinians in Jordan, and internationals in Jordan who flooded the streets of Jordan demonstrating against this genocide that's ongoing, ecocide that's ongoing, etc., and demanding that their government takes good position. So I salute them, I respect them, and as Palestinians here in the occupied territories, we are very grateful to them. For the Jordanian government, I say shame on you that you are repressing your own people from demonstrating, from showing what international law expects from the Jordanian government and people, which is to stop this genocide.
Mr. Napier, I want to get your perspective on the same issue as well, about these demonstrations that are taking place in Jordan, and also if you may expand on these unprecedented pro-Palestinian and anti-Israeli demonstrations, public demonstrations that we've been seeing worldwide.
I mean, it's very clear from everybody who measures it that Israel and its European and American allies are very, very isolated in, you know, in terms of the whole world. The vote at the UNSC was just one stark example of that. Even the British government felt compelled to vote against Israel. But within those governments, within those countries, those governments also are very isolated from their own populations. And we can see this across the USA and across Britain and Europe as well. But Jordan's very special. To see those vast crowds on the streets of Amman, I think in Washington they'll be looking at this and getting very worried. They're already worried that the genocide in Gaza is like an acid eating away at the status quo. That in millions and millions of homes across the region, people can see Palestinians being killed only because they are Palestinians, and Zionists are already selling the land in Gaza as real estate to other settlers. So people can see that they're brothers and sisters, but in Jordan it's their cousins and their relatives who are being massacred in Gaza and in the West Bank only because they are Arabs. And the Jordanian regime, of course, has been complicit in the Zionist project since 1948, but certainly until the present day. Now, what happens next? I think everything now hangs on the next few days, because people who know about these things describe how, in this situation where the popular forces are being repressed by the paramilitary police, everything depends upon the determination and the resoluteness of the mass of demonstrating in order to break the will of the repressive forces.
All right, thanks, gentlemen. That's all the time we have for this segment to the program. Palestinian scientist and author Mazen Ramsia joining us from Bethlehem, and thanks to co-founder of the Scottish Palestine Solidarity Campaign, Mr. Mick Napier, joining us from Edinburgh. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review. Elsewhere, the political bureau chief of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, has traveled to the Iranian capital for high-level talks. The visit comes a day after the UNSC passed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Yusumi Shamadi has the details.
A brief but meaningful presence in front of the cameras. The political bureau chief of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, is in Tehran a day after the United Nations Security Council adopted a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. This is Haniyeh's second trip to Tehran since the Israeli onslaught on the besieged coastal strip on October 7th.
We are going through a historic stage in the fight against the regime, and its turning point is the Al-Aqsa flood. The people of Palestine have shown exemplary resistance, and the resolution that was passed by the UNSC indicates that the Israeli occupation is experiencing unprecedented political isolation. Israel is losing its political cover and protection, even in the Security Council.
Raise their hand.
On Monday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, with the U.S. for the first time abstaining from the vote. Washington had vetoed three such resolutions before. This is the result of, quote, the exceptional resistance demonstrated by the people of Gaza, as described by Haniyeh during a meeting with Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei later in the day, where the leader emphasized that the Islamic Republic of Iran will not hesitate to support Palestine. Ismail Haniyeh is expected to hold more high-level meetings with Iranian officials, including President Ebrahim Raisi. This is the sixth time that the two officials are meeting since October 7th, and the second time that Ismail Haniyeh has traveled to Tehran, signaling the important role that Iran plays in the political equations of the region. Yisoum Shahmadi, Tehran.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. On the issue of the economy, I should say that the month of Ramadan is the month of piety. What is piety? Piety means constant care of ourselves so that we do not take the wrong path and do not get stuck in the thorns of problems. Piety is in fact an armor that a pious person wears. It protects him from the harm caused by poisonous arrows and deadly spiritual blows. Of course, this harm is not confined to spiritual matters. And for those who fear Allah, He prepares a way out. He provides for him from sources he never could imagine. The Holy Quran, chapter 66, verses 2 to 3. Piety has many important effects, even in worldly affairs. This is personal piety. The same thing holds true for society and a country.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
What is the piety of a country? What is the piety of a society. A society, particularly if it has lofty and elevated ideals like the Islamic Republic society, is under constant attack. It is subject to attacks launched with poisonous arrows. This requires piety as well. What is social piety? Social piety can be defined for different areas. In the area of the economy, social piety means the economy of resistance. If we want to avoid the harm caused by global fluctuations, or if we want to avoid the poisonous arrows that are fired by hostile policies in the world, we have no option other than turning to the economy of resistance. The economy of resistance is an element of strength in the face of all those people and powers that use all their economic, political, media, and security capacities in order to deliver a blow to our people, our country, and our system. One of the ways that they have found until today is penetration through economy.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Hi, I am Javad Qadri, an Iran trotter.
I think Iran is a unique country, and I'm supposed to award you with the beauties of my beloved country and my trips to the most pristine places in Iran, a country I wholeheartedly feel proud of. Many people in the world consider Iran as a desert country because it's located on the dry belt of the earth. They don't have the right image of the beloved Iran. Undoubtedly, a major part of Iran consists of vast and, of course, impressively beautiful deserts, but the fact is about 55% of Iran consists of mountains, and we can see that Iran is a mountainous country where the Alborz and Zagros are the most remarkable mountain ranges in the unique country.
Thank you.
Alborz Mountain Range is very crucial as it houses the gorgeous Mount Damavand and the 40-million-year-old Hyrcanian forests in the north. And the Zagros Mountain Range stands out in western Iran due to its dense oak forests as well as numerous rivers and waterfalls. This time, I've traveled to a part of the Zagros mountain range in Delfan in Lorestan province, a region that enjoys ancient culture and art besides its unique nature and is home to passionate people who speak in Lek. Oh, what a place. It's like a blade and has a low altitude, but I never take a risk. If I want to walk in the mountain and reach a point, I'll try to choose the easiest path, not the fastest or shortest one. Because when you're traveling in nature or climbing a mountain, the easiest way will save your life, but short paths can be dangerous. I'm sure I can pass through this path, although it is steep and there are thin layers of stone. Those places are a little risky, but I know that I can. When I'm not sure if I can pass or not, there's no way I'll take the risk and take that path. This place is good. The stones stick together like thin layers, and they've created a very beautiful shape. But at the same time, it involves a great deal of risk. Look how beautiful it is, and of course, dangerous. I have to be careful I don't slip. Oh, look at the other side. It's an abyss. But I trespass this tree's territory. I'll pass by it without causing any damage to it. Oh, it was a very steep path. This is Zagros, with many steep mountains and deep valleys. Oh God, what a scenery. I've seen many oak trees in Zagros in different provinces, but what makes the oak forest in Delfan in Lorestan province stand out is the color of its soil. It's red. The green trees and red soil have created astonishing scenery. I think this place is like paradise for photographers. In any moment of the day, in the morning, at noon, or at sunset, the beautiful nature of Delphan gives you a great scene from different angles as a gift. Thank God I managed to come here. It was worth it. In Persian literature, Zagros is a symbol of resistance and steadfastness by the people who live among the hard stones and have learned very well how to overcome their problems. The men and women in the Lor, Kurd, and Khashgai tribes work hard side by side in the Zagros Mountains from the northwest to the south of the beloved Iran in order to earn their daily sustenance. They've created many stories at the heart of the tough mountains. They've memorized every line of the stories and have passed them down from generation to generation. They've told many stories at the heart of Delphan since thousands of years ago. Some people say Delphan is a land that is under spell because many wars have broken out in this place along the tortuous paths, and as the locals say, the mysterious mountains in Delphan were considered by the people in the past as the best place to bury their valuables. And some local people believe that Noah's Ark landed in this region. But whether that claim is true or false, hearing them by the locals made the trip doubly interesting for me. For me, if there is a treasure in this place, it is undoubtedly the mesmerizing nature of Delphan, which has cast a spell on me with its beauty and had dragged me all the way here. Considering the archaeological discoveries in the Khatunban and Dasht-e-Kaveh areas, it is an established fact that the ancient residents of this breathtakingly nice region were among the first people in the world who tamed horses. Unearthing a device named bridle made by bronze in some of the ancient graves in this region proves the fact. But the interesting thing that's discovered in the graves is that the bridle of some of the horses were under the head of their owners and their burial place. A cemetery for horses has been discovered next to this ancient cemetery, which is adjacent to the cemetery where humans were buried. If the rider died before the horse would be buried in that cemetery next to the owner. The red hills of Delphon, along with the flowers, plants, and purple and oak trees, created the scenery in the spring that can be seen in few places in the beloved Iran. But besides all the beauty and the generosity of nature, seeing the traces of destruction of Mother Nature by people ached my heart. Oh my God, look how splendid this tree is. How old do you think this tree I'm honored to stand next to is? This tree is over 500 to 600 years old. In fact, oak is a tree characterized by longevity. It takes a very long time for it to grow this big. Unfortunately, there are no trees besides these two on the farm you see behind me. There was a time when this place was dotted with old oak trees. Continue the trek toward Mount Mehrab, hoping the remaining oak trees in Zagros will be preserved. Zagros has abundant flora, and if we're a little lucky, we can see rarely found plants that not everyone gets the chance to see in their lifetime. And I was very lucky on this trip. This rare flower, and in fact this plant, is a member of the Kala Lily family. It is rarely found in Iran. It is mostly spotted in the western Zagros in scattered areas. In Farsi, this black, or I'd better say aborigine flower, is called baharak, or spring, because it only blossoms in the spring. The flower has a very bad odor. The locals call the plant kalagak, or small raven. It has an eye-pleasing metallic color. If you touch it, it feels like a donkey's ear. It is thick and velvet, but the smell is a repellent. The very beautiful plant stinks because it draws the flies. Many flies sit on the plant. The smart plant attracts the flies so it can pollinate and survive the next generations. When we walk in nature or climb the mountain, we have to watch our steps so we won't harm the plants. This plant, which is very rare in our beloved country, is at risk of extinction because of mountain climbers. We might push a species into extinction just because of our careless attitude. It's very beautiful, but the smell is really a nuisance. It stinks. I have to immediately leave this place. Nature is a symbol of God's beauty and elegance. It's always beautiful one way or another in any shape it is, but mountains are always glorious within nature and have been especially attractive for nature lovers. Usually high individual mountains like Damavand or Sabalon are elegantly outstanding compared to mountain ranges. But here in Lorestan's Delphan, there are two mountain ranges, named the Greater and Lesser Mihrab mountain ranges, that are undoubtedly as gorgeous as individual mountains.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم Ramadan Kareem, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners all over the world listening to IRIB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem in the holy month of Ramadan. It's really, really emphasized and it's also very valuable, okay, to recite the Quran Kareem more than before in the holy month of Ramadan. Yes, we really welcome you all, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, to our Quranic session today, inshallah. In this session, we will be working on Ayah 58, Surah Al-A'raf, on page
158.
So, brothers Ali Nasser, Hassan Nasrullah and Hussein Ruhullah have joined us today in this session. I really welcome you all. So everyone, if you are ready, let's first listen to the recitation of this ayah, and then inshallah we'll move on to the tajweed points and the explanation. All right?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون.
ما شاء الله, nice recitation. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 58 of Surah Al-A'raf, I will read it once, then one of our brothers here will recite it. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون. Allah Almighty says, the good land, balad means the land, the city, okay, the land. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ طَيِّب, طَيِّب means pure, and also it means the good one, the good land. Its vegetation comes out by the permission of its Lord, Allah Almighty. And as for that which is bad, the bad land, لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدَ, it does not come out except sparsely. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِي يَشْكُرُونَ, thus do we paraphrase the signs variously for a people who give thanks, who are thankful. Guys, this ayah is one of the very beautiful verses of the Quran that our scholars use this as an example to explain different topics. So there is one thing at the end of this ayah. I just want to point one more point. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَشْكُرُونَ. Guys, we always, all right, we always are being blessed by Allah Almighty. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We really have to be thankful for every single blessing of Allah Almighty, every single ni'mah of Allah Almighty, especially in the month of Ramadan, in the holy month of Ramadan. It's really important that we should be thinking about the blessings of Allah Almighty and being thankful to all of them. All right?
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So, refer to the Tafasir books. Inshallah, you will learn more about this ayah. The tajweed points that we will mention about this ayah are important in case you want to learn them and recite the Quran beautifully, correctly. Brothers and sisters, please pay attention. Adi Nasir, before we start mentioning the tajweed points, I want you to recite this ayah once. So yes, everyone will listen. Let's see how Adi Nasir recites this ayah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون.
أحسنت, ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So thank you so much, Ali Nasir. That was very nice. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ.
Yes.
Is there any tajweed point in this part? First, let's ask Hassan about the stopping signs. Two stopping signs we have. Sila and?
Jim.
The sign Jim, yeah. So, Hassan, what does that Sila tell us, and what about the Jim?
This Sila tells us that it's better to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jim says that it's optional to stop or to continue.
All right. So Sila, whenever you see the sign Sila, it tells you better to continue. You're allowed to make a pause here, but it's better to keep going.
والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا.
Better to continue. But you are? Huh?
Allowed to stop.
Allowed to stop. Good. What about Jim? It says you are allowed to make a pause. So normally you have to read. Continue reading, yes? Till the ayah ends.
Yes.
والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون.
Normally you gotta read from the beginning of the ayah till the end, but in case you're running out of breath, all right, you can make a pause there. You are
allowed
to make a pause. You're permitted. Thank you, Hassan.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Next tajweed point. والبلد الطيب. طا has a heavy sound. Make sure you pronounce it correctly. يخرج, also a heavy sound.
Yes.
And what about nabatuhu? After the letter ha, you got a baby wow, a tiny wow. I call it baby wow. So whatever you call it, it's a baby wow. Anyhow, what does that say?
You should stretch it.
Stretch the sound of
wow or dhamma.
Dhamma. Who?
Yeah.
It's called in tajweed books. If you refer, it's the title is ishba'u ha'id dhamir. Ishba' means to feed up, okay? Feed up. To, for example, to full something. When you full charge something, okay?
Yes.
Your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you plug in the charge until the charge is full. And the battery is full. Like this, he says, stretch it and make it full. Nabatuhu. Stretch it.
Yes.
Or he sometimes. Rabbihi. Do you see the ya?
Yeah.
Bi'idhni rabbihi. There is a fallen baby ya there. Hussein, do you see that? So this baby wall, all right?
Yes.
And that baby ya.
Yeah.
The fallen ya. The small ya and the small wall. They tell us to stretch
more
sound. Yes.
Stretch.
It's not only nabatuhu. Like this. يخرج نباته بإذن ربه والذي.
Wrong.
It's not one count. Stretch it. Make it more beautiful.
Yes.
نباته بإذن ربه والذي خبث. This way. Very simple. إشباع. Ha. Ha ul dhamir. إشباع ها ul dhamir. Ha. نباته. Ha is a pronoun.
Yes.
Ha il damir means the ha, which is a pronoun. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it comes at the end of the word. Nabat is a word. Nabatuhu means the vegetation of that tree, for example, or that land.
Yes.
Bi'idhni rab means Lord. Rabbihi means its Lord. So it's a pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
Wallazi khabutha la yakhruju illa nakida. Very simple. كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ. The last point. Hussein, tell us. لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ.
لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ.
لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ. You merge the tanween.
Yes. إدغام.
إدغام. This is called إدغام. So you read it this way. لِقَوْمٍ Mi yashkurun. You extend the sound also for two beats. That's all, brothers and sisters. This ayah was very, very simple. I will recite it once. Make sure you listen and repeat with brothers Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir. Let's go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه
والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه
والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا
والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا
كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون
كذلك نصرف الآيات لقوم يشكرون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, mashallah. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being with us till the end of this session. That's all from us for today. Ramadan Kareem. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Brothers Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, thanks for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi at-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Black and white.
Simplemente ser independientes.
The imperialist forces and the imperialist countries take different measures. One of the most perverse measures are the blockades and sanctions. Particularly those exercised by the United States, also by Western Europe, and sometimes even by some international organizations, such as the United Nations. Beware. The main function of these blockades is to try to complicate the life to the inhabitants of the countries with whom they have contradictions and want them to change their way of thought, government, and administration. Because it seems that freedom, free trade, and self-determination does not exist for them. Of course, it doesn't exist.